Bibles with you tonight, you can turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 15, please. How many of you can remember a song, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog? He was a good friend of mine, right? My nephew bought a bass, and I spent a number of hours yesterday trying to get him indoctrinated in some of the finer things, and it was interesting because at one point I told my brother that I thought that I had been placed right into the middle of the Grateful Dead because my dad sat there playing along with us with his mandolin. And it was kind of neat because he said, I have trouble with this new music. The newest of the music that we were playing would have been at least 40 years ago. And then my nephew had taken Dad's truck for a drive, and someone came and said, Gary, you have a nice truck. He says, not mine, it's my grandfather's. Press the horn button, it plays Dixie, has dual exhaust, and it's got this real deep... Said, how old's your grandfather? Well, he'll be 74 come summer. No. The Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog thing came because, how about this? A frog walked into a bank to see the loan officer. Miss Patricia Wack. He said, hi, my name is Kermit Jagger. I'm Mick Jagger's son, and I need a loan. So Miss Wack asked, what do you have for collateral? Jagger pulled out a pink ceramic elephant. Miss Wack went to her boss and said, there's a frog out here named Kermit Jagger, and he wants a loan. All he has for collateral is a pink ceramic elephant. What the heck is this thing, anyway? She handed the elephant to her boss, who said, it's a knick-knack, Patty Whack. Give the frog a loan. His old man is a rolling stone. So. It's funny, but it's not true. We'd better pray. I thank you, our Father, for this good group again that's gathered this evening. And I just ask, Lord, tonight that as we look into your word, that you truly would minister to our heart of hearts. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, that we have your word in our language. Lord, we thank you that we have your Holy Spirit indwelling us to help us to understand and to illuminate the scriptures to our hearts. And dear God, that if tonight there's some reason that I have poor understanding or whatever of your word, it's probably because I don't exercise my right and privilege to read it. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us and encourage us to be readers of your word tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I've entitled this, actually, we'll call it a devotional tonight, Bible Anorexia. What in the world can that mean? Well, how many of you have been walking through a place and, listen, I know you're going to find this difficult to believe, but do you know that up until I was about 12, I was so skinny you could almost see through me. I was the person who... I wouldn't have needed an x-ray. You could see if anything, if I had a broken or fractured or bent bone, it was stuck right out through. And I'm telling you that my mom had me to the doctor I don't know how many times, and it's just like, he's fine, he'll take a notion one day to eat. And I've learned since that it was her cooking. Now I need to reconsider this idea of whether or not the folks in heaven are watching us, according to Hebrews chapter 12, but you would understand now. Listen, here in Jeremiah chapter 15, and what I'm saying, how many times have you been walking through a place and you will see somebody who is unnaturally thin? And one of two things would come to your mind. Either this person is not well, or because maybe they have, and someone has termed it this, anorexia nervosa, they have a difficulty somehow, and it's gotten to be a mental issue where they think they're obese when they're skinny. And they refuse to eat. I don't want to eat because it'll make me something that I don't want to be, and they don't realize that what they are is worse than what they don't want to be, and they're not well anymore. Truth of the matter is, we need to, and the idea of this devotional tonight is that we need to read God's Word. It's important for us as a believer. Our spiritual nourishment comes from God's Word. I want to read here tonight in Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, and it just says this. O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me, and visit me. And revenge me of my persecutors. I wonder if I'm reading in the right place. I'm a verse ahead of myself, but that's okay. We'll live through it. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Then, here's where we're going. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of mockers, nor rejoiced I sat alone because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Just a minute. I need to pause here for a second because I need to tell my pancreas to secrete more enzymes. Enzymes because my insulin level isn't what it ought to be. Now, just pause for a second, and maybe you're feeling, if you're not feeling well, tell your pancreas to do what it ought to do. Maybe it's not your pancreas. Maybe it's your liver. How many of you tonight, or this morning, after breakfast, told your liver something like this? Turn up the metabolism. I just overdosed on toxins. Did you tell your liver that, or after supper this evening? Oh, liver, you need to turn up this or turn down that because there's toxins in my body and they're hurting me. How about this? Your lymph nodes. Filter out that lunch. Tell them all and they're all over the place. Why are you laughing? Did you tell your lymph nodes that today or yesterday or last week or the week before? How many of you even thought of your lymph nodes today? Never gave it a thought. Well, you can thank me. Spleen. Are you sure I'm immune to that thing? I can't recognize now what it is that I just ate. It tasted funny. It's all chewed up and it's in my stomach and it's in a mess. I can't recognize it. But are you sure that I'm immune to that thing and that it won't hurt me? It kind of got in with my supper. It sounds funny, but just wait. How about kidney? Did you ever talk to your kidneys? Do you know the song, Who Took Sidney's Kidney? He had a lot to do, didn't he? And it goes on and on. An Australian fellow wrote that song and played his accordion. Rolf Harris, do you remember him? You don't want to get to know him. He's just foolishness is all that comes out of him. There's too much urea in my blood. And I want to tell you, you have a problem if you had liver for supper. Liver, I just ate liver. Listen. It's time for us to wake up. And the idea of this is just this. It's not my responsibility as to what happens, how the nutrients get through my body. My responsibility is to eat. And I want to apply this in a spiritual sense to our lives tonight. Because it goes like this. If I quit eating, then I will suffer from malnutrition. And I concluded some time ago that the problem in the church today, the problem if we have one, and we do in this church, this local church, is I'm convinced that our folks don't read the scriptures. That we're suffering from Bible malnutrition. Or more like Bible anorexia, because you can be malnourished and not on purpose. There are those tonight who don't have enough to eat and they're too thin and they're not healthy because they don't have the wherewithal to feed themselves. In a spiritual sense tonight, we have what it takes to nourish ourselves spiritually. It's called the Bible. And we don't partake. Therefore, we suffer. And the reason I used the word not Bible malnutrition, but Bible anorexia is because we don't read it on purpose. Well, why? I know that, you know, it's a time thing, right? thought it was interesting. I was reading the other day, and somebody was talking about the fact that time heals all kinds of things, but you give it not long enough, time also kills you. Our time runs out. And I appreciate Francis Schaeffer. Some people don't like to read through his philosophical stuff. But he spends a lot of time dealing with time and space and so on. And I'm convinced that when it comes to time, all that time is just a means. Time doesn't pass. We pass. And time is a means to measure our passing. The point tonight is just this, that we need to read God's Word. I want to read our text once more tonight. It says, O Lord, thou knowest, or verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Now, there would be those who would say to me, oh, so am I supposed to eat my Bible? Well, you can if you want to. That's not what it's talking about. And I've heard times, and the Bible is full of phrases and cliches and figures of speech. I have a great book in there. It has to do with figures of speech in Scripture. The Bible's full of them. And this idea, have you ever heard somebody say, well, if you were to do this or do that, sometimes people have said to me, you know, you're working with the youth now. You should try this. The young people will eat that right up. They don't really mean that they're going to go downstairs and eat the carpet ball table. What they mean is that they will enjoy that, and they will eat up the opportunity that they have to become engaged or involved in that. And when you take a look at this, the idea is, well, Jeremiah, in this case, where it's written here, it doesn't have to do with taking the Bible and eating it. Especially, can you imagine if Moses would have eaten the Ten Commandments, he would have broke his teeth. But we need to eat up, if you will, God's Word. I jotted down a couple of things. I read a paper by a man by the name of Philip Marot. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. It was too much, and I'm not actually quoting. But he had written a paper to do with the living Word of God. And one of the things that he said is just this. I want you to think about it tonight. To be effective, to be an effective minister, I must be well nourished with spiritual food from the living Word. Do you know the truth of the matter is, if we're engaged in ministry of any kind, not public ministry necessarily, but if you're engaged in being a leader in your home, in your family, if you're engaged in witnessing, and if you're engaged in a spiritual warfare and the wicked one is against you, it's necessary for us to have spiritual nourishment. There's only one place from where we can get spiritual nourishment, and that's the Word of God. My point tonight, and there's only one, is just this. We need to wallow in the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God. We need to become fat on the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 speaks about meditating on God's Word, delighting in God's Word. I find it interesting because every once in a while, and I've been traveling, doing a little bit of traveling in the last little while, and I've met with some different Christians. And as you speak with them, sometimes there will be a debate over an issue. And I've been caused to wonder a number of times, do you really read the Bible? If you were to read the Bible, somewhere along the line, some of it would get into you. You're bound to catch on after a while if you read it. And part of the reason why we don't understand Scripture and why there's so much hoobla and debate in issues and programs and different things today is simply this, that as believers we have become malnutrition. We're malnourished because we go other places and do other things. And I found it interesting, and I'm not against books. I was telling somebody the other day that, you know, just in my study there's more than 1,000 books. Oh, I don't think so. But what some of you don't know, there's two rows on most of those shelves. There's a lot of books in there. But you know something? There isn't one book in there that can replace this one book. They're all about the one book, and that's what happens in the church. Is people are reading books, and people are going online, and they're listening to all kinds of stuff. And we're ignoring and leaving, laying aside that which we need to get this spiritual nourishment that's necessary to carry on our lives as believers in our churches and in our homes. To be an effective minister, I must be well nourished, and so on. Then it takes me, and there's a couple of other verses that I want to allude to that we don't need to turn there. We're familiar with them. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 speaks of the desiring the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The idea of milk, and I've mentioned this a number of times, it dawned on me one day that as a baby they take in milk. And strong meat is not for little children and babies. You have to become, what's the word they used? Weaned. I don't know why they use that word, but that means when you go from milk to stronger and other food that you need as you grow. Problem in churches today is we have adults who are still taking in milk. And what's the whole significance? It's just this. When you take in milk, well, either from your mother or from a cow, that animal has already digested the hay or the grass or whatever it is that she has eaten. She's digested it and produced milk and gives it to you. But now that we're adults and we're grown-ups as believers, it's our responsibility to take in the nourishment, to take in God's word on our own, and we're able now, as we since we've grown, to go beyond that. And we're able to take in the meat and so on. And God nourishes us from his word. If we're adults, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14 speaks of the idea of graduating from milk to meat. Well, number two, I want you to think about this. My mind did some dancing around and some thinking the other day, and I jotted down some things as I read through this paper. And I've been of the persuasion for a lot of years that the key ingredient that would go into a Christian's life or to the person of a believer that would make us to be what we need to be or ought to be and have to be and will be has to be, I have to absorb God's word. I have to get God's word into me somehow. And there's only one way to do that. It's great to hear preaching. It's good to hear Bible teaching, and we can learn and we can grow. But as a believer, it's my responsibility myself to take God's word, spiritual nourishment, the manna, so to speak, into myself, and the Lord will do with it as he will. Can remember, and Rodney would have said under some of the teaching of Bud Elford, I believe, one of the things that Bud used to say, and I appreciate it so much, is just this. How many times have you sat down at a banquet or at a meal with a group of believers, and someone would ask the blessing? And we can get into some real long, wonderful blessings that nourish this food to our bodies and the whole business, you know, la la, quack, quack, all the things we say. But have you ever heard someone sit down at a banquet and say, oh dear God, thank you for this food, now help me to eat it? We don't say that. Why? Because when it comes to physical food, most of us have no problem opening our mouth, putting it in there, and down the hatch. And the reason I went through all the foolishness, really, about our liver and our pancreas and all that, is it's not my responsibility, once I take the food into myself, it's not my responsibility any longer what happens to it. Do you know it's the same with God's word? My responsibility is to take God's word in. We don't comprehend the process. I shouldn't say we. Maybe you know everything that it's necessary to know, and you know everything that happens to every morsel of food that goes in your mouth. I never give it a thought. And the truth of the matter is, when was it? 4 years ago I had a heart attack. Maybe I should think of it. I still never give it a thought. It's once it gets past my mouth, I have no clue what happens with the whole business. Aren't you glad that we're not that high maintenance? That helps me to understand I certainly didn't evolve. Because, you know, there's a lot of things goes in. But just this, we don't comprehend the process, and it's the same spiritually. My responsibility is to take God's word into myself. What God does with it is up to him. I don't have any control over that. I don't supervise what happens in my spiritual immaterial being with God's word that I take in. I'm not the supervisor. I just have to take God's word in. I'm not responsible for the results. I'm responsible to bring God's word in. I'm only responsible to the point of, if it were food, of swallowing the food. I'm not responsible as to what happens. There may be some of you here tonight who, if the truth were known, read your Bible very little. You have no clue what would happen if you were on a schedule where every day you brought God's word into your body. You don't know what God's word would do in your heart and in your life if you were to read it. And I'm thankful that God hasn't really, in a sense, he hasn't made me responsible. But the truth of the matter is, one of the things that scares me a little bit, when I read through the Psalms especially, and it's repeated more than once, that I delight in the law of the Lord. If you delighted in God's word, if it was something that you enjoyed and something that you liked, something tells me that you'd read it a lot more than you do. You do other things that you like. It's our responsibility to God's word. Thirdly, I just wrote down this, and I want you to think about this. Food in the pantry or food in the freezer does not nurture me. You can have your cupboards full, you can have your pantry full, you can have your freezer full. But if you don't partake of the food, you will suffer from malnutrition. Point is just this, the Bible on the shelf will not help me. You can have the best commentaries, the best books, and all the bells and all the whistles. And you can have a great and wonderful Bible. I've discovered that the leather ones really do last longer. You will never wear your Bible out if you don't pick the thing off the shelf. It's nice to have a Bible, but the Bible will do you no good if you don't read the Bible. I want to just refer to our passage again. I looked up a little portion there in Handfuls on Purpose, a great little set of books by a couple of guys by the name of Smith and Lee. When you look at our text tonight, again, devotionally, it's just this. The Lord, or the thy words, verse 16, were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me joy and rejoicing. It's interesting that you see here the idea, it says thy words, which would refer to God's words would be the scripture. And we know that according to John 1:1, is the word is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the relationship between the words and the word is interesting. It says here, observe that in this verse we have both words and word. In words, most certainly, we have the written word, which we know as the Bible. But surely in the word we have the living word, the Lord Jesus. The living word, the Lord Jesus, is found in the written word, the Bible. And Smith and Lee jotted down seven things that I'm going to share with you very quickly tonight that would be found in this passage. Number one, we have inspiration. And the thought of inspiration would come from thy words. We have searching. We have the word there, found. Satisfaction. Eat them. Now, unless your wife is a horrible cook, isn't there a certain satisfaction from eating? I have mastered two things in my life. I eat well and I sleep well. Can eat any old time, or I can sleep any old time. Every once in a while I have to remind myself, if you're a little dull of hearing as you are sometimes, or a little bit dim, I can get tired and sleepy right while I'm preaching. Can you imagine if I were to fall asleep while I was here? But there's something satisfying about eating to the point where I have to pray that I don't become sinful about it. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to reading God's word, you can't read God's word too much. It won't hurt you. It will not hurt you to indulge in the scriptures. You can read the scripture all you want, and it won't hurt you. You won't become Spiritual obesity is not a problem that we have or that we're going to have, so we don't have to worry about it. There's a satisfaction in eating the Word of God. Speaks about rejoicing. That carries with it the idea of joy. And you may say, oh, I don't get any joy from reading Scripture. You should try it sometime. Make you a challenge. I have found a number of times, and I think this happens to the best of us. Have you ever felt, for lack of a better word, discouraged? Have you ever felt depressed? Have you ever felt down? Have you ever felt like, oh, like Alexander, who had a horribly bad day? You know, I went to my garden to dig worms, and there were no worms, and the whole business, everything went wrong. You got gum in your hair. In my case, it would be I got gum on my head. Whichever the case, it's still not fun. I'll make you a challenge, and I'll tell you, for me, I can't read through more than one chapter of the Psalms, and I start to become encouraged. God's Word encourages us, and it helps us. We would read things like, He is our rock and our buckler and our shield and our help and ever have present help in trouble. Now the Lord sustains us, and He loves us, and He keeps us, and He watches over us, and that He understands, and that He knows. If you're a believer and you're bringing things like that into your being, how can you be discouraged? Well, it's called, you know, then the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 3 was baptized, and He came out of the water. There was rejoicing. The whole Trinity was pictured there. Chapter 4, He was led into the wilderness by the devil. And it seems like every time when I'm encouraged by God's Word, that the wicked one comes along and he drives me back where? Back to the Word again. We can't go wrong. I don't know if you've got the point tonight. I'm trying to tell you this. You need to turn to God's Word. If you're here as a believer and things aren't going the way that they ought to go, I can almost always tell you when I meet somebody who's having a difficulty that they're not reading the Scriptures. I'm not telling you tonight that will take your difficulties away. But what it'll do, it'll give you the strength and the courage and the ability and the grace and everything that you need to stand against that which is against you. Paul and Silas were singing in Acts chapter 16 in prison at midnight. What were they doing awake at that hour? Chained to a soldier. Singing. Well, I'll tell you, if they sing like me, that guard probably would have let me go. But nonetheless, the singing carries with it privilege, I am called. Carries with it the idea in verse 17 of separation, I sat not. Carries with it the idea of testimony, I sat alone. It's just this, and I want you to think about it tonight. As we or most of us have no clue what happens to that which I put into my body, follow the Canada Food Guide, you'll be safe and healthy. Put the right things in, and we trust that we were made in such a way that the nutrients from whatever it is that we eat will give us the strength to live our lives the fullest until we go to be with the Lord. In a spiritual sense, as believers, we were designed in such a way that it's necessary for us to be healthy as believers is to bring into our immaterial soul, spirit, being God's Word. And God's Word nurtures us and helps us to grow and helps us to survive in a spiritual world. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have here, I have one on my pulpit and you have in your hand something, and we know that God's Word will endure forever. His Word is settled in heaven. Thy Word, even if you don't have God's Word with you, Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. We can pick God's Word up and we can bring it into our being by reading His Word, and it's necessary. But if we happen to be in a situation where we don't have a Bible in our hand, we have it in our heart. And we can meditate and delight in what the Lord has for us. What's our responsibility? Is to take the Bible off the shelf and to partake of the banquet that the Lord has prepared for us. And I'm thankful tonight that it's free. Sure, you had to pay something for your Bible, but they last a long time. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, tonight for the few minutes we've had. And dear God, just that we could be faithful to partake of your word, that we could bring into our being what you would have us to know and to understand, and that we could grow spiritually, and that we could be strengthened spiritually, and that we would learn and understand and know and live for you as we ought to. And dear God, just help us tonight to have the grace to pick up our Bibles and to read them. And Lord, we know that you're responsible, and that faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. It's important for us to bring your word into our beings. In Christ's name, amen.